You're listening to At Any Rate, JP Morgan's Global Research Podcast, where we take a look at the story behind some of the biggest trends and themes in fixed income, currency, and commodity markets today. I'm your host, Jay Barry, co-head of U.S. Rate Strategy and chief U.S. government bond strategist at JP Morgan. After repricing sharply higher in early to mid-February on the heels of strong employment and inflation data, U.S. rates have been pretty narrowly range-bound over the last 3 weeks, trading in a roughly 15 to 20 basis point range. And over this period, this is the lowest range volatility we have seen over the course of the last couple of years since the Fed embarked on its very breakneck pace tightening cycle this time 2 years ago. To a certain extent, this should be little surprise to us as there's been very little in the way of first-tier economic data over the period. And we're sitting here with plenty of event risk ahead of us over the next week. Chair Powell is set to deliver his semi-annual testimony in front of Congress next Wednesday morning. We've got the February employment data on Friday morning, and in between it, globally, the ECB decision is due out Thursday morning as well. With all this event risk in mind, I'm joined today by Meera Chandon, who's co-head of Global FX Strategy, to discuss the key events for the coming week and what it could mean for the direction of travel in both U.S. rates and currencies. Meera, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks a lot, Jay, and thanks for having me on. It's great to be here. So interesting, it's going to be a pretty eventful week. But you know, before we get into the event risk, why don't we talk about the changes to your rates forecast that you made recently?
Yeah, no, thanks for asking about that. So about a week ago, we raised our year-end targets across the Treasury curve to reflect a couple of different dynamics. I think first is, you know, with this repricing that we've had in rates, the market is pricing in clearly a later start to Fed easing and a fewer set of cuts for the year. And I don't necessarily think that markets will price in sort of our modal view on the Fed very easily over the medium term, considering that this has certainly put a bump in the road for those who think that the immaculate disinflation is sort of taking hold right now. So we raised our forecast to reflect the likelihood that the risk premium around the Fed will remain higher for a longer period of time. And we can certainly see that in options markets pricing. Some of the work done by my colleague and partner Srini and his team shows that looking at year-end pricing in SOFR options indicate that while the highest likelihood outcome right now remains the likelihood that the Fed cuts by five times this year, the probability of either no cuts or hikes has risen substantially. And I don't think it's going to go away. It's probably going to take a couple months of data for that to sort of fade into the background. So the revisions to our forecast reflect that dynamic, but then also reflect the likelihood that the QT process will go on for longer. And as I'm sure many of our listeners heard in the podcast earlier this week from Teresa Ho and Ipek Özil, we do think with what we learned from the minutes of the Jan meeting that the slowing of QT won't be announced until June and implemented in July, and that will run apace through the end of this year, which if that's the case, it's going to deliver less duration or more duration back, to the Treasury market than we previously had forecast and result in the Fed owning a lower share of the Treasury market than previously expected, which is going to anchor rates at slightly higher levels. And as a function of that, we've raised our two-year Treasury targets to 380 for year-end. They were previously 3.25, and our year-end 10-year target to 380 from 365 previously. So we did make those revisions to reflect those dynamics. But what I will say here is that locally, with the backup that we've had here and the way that we're looking at U.S. rates, as we look ahead to the event risk next week, it's a great unknown about what Chair Powell will say. He's been quite dovish in both December and in January at the policy meetings. And in January, I think he used the word confident or confidence to define the inflation outlook something like 20 times. But that was, of course, before this latest round of data. And we'd really be interested to see the tone that he takes next week. And on the labor market front, it seems like it's pretty consensus that we should expect significantly slower employment growth as the seasonals from that very strong January data don't follow through to February, but also the likelihood that average hourly earnings, reverse a little bit more moderate as well. So if that's the case and markets are only pricing in about three cuts for this year and a later start than we forecast, we think that's probably supportive of yields declining over the near term, and particularly so because typically in the period between the end of Fed hikes and the beginning of Fed cuts, it's supportive of intermediate yields falling. So we do think that even though we've raised our rate forecast higher here, the path still over the medium term is probably lower. And it's also lower with a further bias towards steepness at the long end, particularly because we think that this QT story has further to run from here. So if we're right, and the February data do not repeat the strength that we saw in January, which is sort of in our forecast, then that means that in all else likelihood, there is room for rates to decline from current levels. But maybe we should pivot here and ask you about what you think the key risks are to the dollar next week ahead of both Humphrey Hawkins and payrolls.
Yeah, thanks for that, Jay. You know, I think several things, all of the dimensions that you mentioned actually should be affecting the dollar. I think we're going into a couple of very key events, and sadly, FX markets, the volatility is plumbing at the moment as FX markets are consolidating ahead of these key events. And I think it's really going to set the direction, the outcome from both payrolls and CPI in the US is really going to set the direction for how the dollar behaves. I think, you know, as I'm sure regular listeners will know, that we have been maintaining a bullish bias on the dollar. We've been expressing that versus euro, versus the Canadian dollar, versus the CNH from time to time. But, you know, and the reason for that is fairly straightforward. There's a lot of exceptionalism when it comes to the US. In terms of growth, we've been talking about that for a while, but also in terms of yield, also in terms of sort of some of the equity market performance that we're seeing and the relative earnings surprises as well. So all of those things are keeping the case for bullish dollar bias intact. I think it's also important to keep in mind that the US is in a very different starting point as far as growth is concerned compared to Europe and China, you know, starting well above trend growth, with the sort of upside risks accruing even to sort of the forecasts in this year, you know, for the first quarter, for example. So I think there is a certain amount of US exceptionalism that's still very much in theme and in play. But really, the key risk here for the dollar, the pain trade, I think, is going to be if we do get this firm upside surprise, another blockbuster employment report, another firm inflation, you know, which you know, if it pushes U.S. yields further, I think what we're going to find is that the resilience we've seen, the dollar's really not, it's been only somewhat sensitive to the rising U.S. yields so far. But I think this sort of muted response that we've seen in FX is not really going to last in that scenario, because we are at a bit of a threshold. You know, if the market has to start to price in fewer cuts than what the Fed has in its SEP, you know, so if it's pricing in less than 3 cuts, I think that starts to become a real risk here for the dollar on the upside. So I do think the pain trade here for currency markets is to the upside on the dollar if we get this move higher in US rates. I think if we do end up getting softer prints and US rates do end up you know, declining as is our baseline, I think the dollar could see some weakness on the back of that. But I seriously question the longevity of that weakness that we'll see, because at the end of the day, look, even at 4.5%, the expectation is that the US will yield more than 40% of the currencies globally by the end of the year. And let's not forget, we've got major event risk in the US with the presidential elections in November. And as we saw in January, every time we get this intensified focus on tariffs, you know, that just pushes, skews the risks of the dollar firmly to the upside. So sure, you know, we could see a pullback in the dollar on the back of softer employment or inflation data. But I would seriously question the longevity of that.
I think it's funny when you're talking about risks for the dollar for next week, and we talked about the modal view for US rates. You know, I would certainly think that there are risks to the upside here in the case that we don't get our delivered outcomes. So certainly, you know, you talked about the growth dynamics in the US, Mira. We've raised our US 1Q growth forecast a further 50 basis points this week up to 2.25%. And I think, you know, markets are clearly focused not only on the strength of the January employment data, but the revisions to the fourth quarter data as well, which leave the starting point for the labor markets a bit stronger. So while the markets are pricing in a more benign path for the Fed than our own forecasts, and certainly, you know, what's notable to me is that investor positioning in rates which was very long, both I think on the active, you know, manager side as well as on the macro hedge fund side heading into the beginning of February. Those positions are certainly back to neutral right now. And it stands out to me that I look at our weekly Treasury client survey in the last 2 weeks, the share of neutrals in the survey have been hovering above 80%, which is a share that we have seen only a few times over the last quarter century or so. So broadly speaking right now, investor risk appetite in U.S. rates is really low, but there's certainly a lean towards the data flow mean reverting in the next couple of weeks. If we don't get that, you know, there is a risk that investor positioning begins to turn more bearish and that you could see yields begin to approach the levels that we saw in the fourth quarter of last year. I think it's highly unlikely that the 10-year notes revisit the 5% level we saw in October. And then simply because when we got there in October, at least a part of that move was being dictated by fiscal sustainability and treasury supply concerns, which have now receded into the background. But it's a positive that that investor positioning is now neutral, but it's certainly not short. And any sort of upside risk to employment or any hawkish risks from the Fed chair would push it in that direction, even though that's not our sort of expected outcome for next week. But away from that, and away from the sort of very US-centric view of the world, we've also, between Powell on Wednesday and employment on Friday, the ECB making its decision on Thursday morning, and you know, see that our ECB preview was out earlier this morning, and we've certainly gotten some inflation data the last couple of days. What's your thinking on the ECB, and what could the impact be on currency markets right here?
Yeah, I think, frankly, the currency markets are going to be predominantly driven by U.S. side developments, and in particular relating to the Fed. And I think the ECB becomes a bit of a sideshow next week as a result of that. And look, you know, at the end of the day, ECB is probably relieved with the direction of the data in Europe. So what we've seen is the growth data, which, you know, the GDP growth had been flirting with recession in Europe, that has inched up a little bit. It's not something to celebrate and, you know, a lot about, but certainly the direction of travel has been towards an improvement. You know, it's kind of pushed the growth that our economist estimates of what growth is tracking to be in Q1 into positive territory. But again, this is very, very low growth rates. You know, we're talking about 0.4% annualized pace in Q1, which is obviously a big contrast to the US that you just mentioned, Jay, where we're still getting growth upgrades. But nonetheless, you know, even it's a move in the right direction. But worthwhile keeping in mind that even with this shift, you know, at 0.4%, that's still about half the pace that ECB was expecting in Q1. So this is still disappointing, the ECB on the growth side, even though they're probably a bit relieved. So our economists think that the growth projections that the ECB has in the near term have to be taken down. I think the bias was for inflation projections to be taken down as well. But you know, the fact that we actually got a little bit of firm core inflation print today might make that sort of a less of a theme. Although, you know, the inflation print that came out today was outside of their forecast window, strictly speaking. But certainly, we'll probably be pleased with the direction of travel on growth, at least. And that means that they probably will sound more confident in their data-dependent approach and probably err more on the hawkish side of expectations rather than dovish. Will this be a game changer for Euro? Not really, because at the end of the day, if you get another 300 type number on US payrolls on Friday, even with a hawkish ECB, Euro dollar is going to be heading weaker. So I do think that ultimately we're going to be driven by the US side expectations rather than what the ECB is doing, despite their hawkish stance and the fact that inflation has surprised to the upside and wage growth has been fairly sticky in the region as well.
Got it. Thanks for that, Mira. So, you know, clearly the medium-term risks against the backdrop of the relative discrepancies between the U.S. and Euro area point to further dollar strength over the medium term, if anything. So we've got a big week ahead of us next week, and all the event risk is backloaded. Thanks for joining me today. Thanks to everybody for listening. We'll see how this pans out. Stay tuned for more episodes of At Any Rate, J.P. Morgan's Global Research Podcast Series. This communication is provided for information purposes only. please read JP Morgan research reports related to its contents for more information, including important disclosures. Copyright 2024, JP Morgan Chase & Company. All rights reserved. This episode was recorded on March 1st, 2024.